Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the Astros are a mess. They're 4-10. They three out of four games this week. They basically just had one inning implode on them, and that was curtains in each of those games. And yesterday was the worst one yet. Hunter Brown, 9 runs, 2/3 of an inning, and they lose to the Royals 13-3. Back home for the Rangers this weekend, and we'll see what happens from there. Reggie Jackson was on John Heyman's podcast. John Heyman, longtime baseball writer. And Reggie Jackson, I don't know what his title is. He's an advisor to Jim Crane. I know that.
He's one of the many people that orbit Jim Crane who don't necessarily have an official duty. They're just there for advice and expertise in any way that maybe Jim Crane sees fit, just like Bagwell and Biggio.
Yeah. And in fact, Reggie Jackson actually laid that out. John Heyman asked him about some of the moves that they've made, moves they didn't make, moves they might make, and Reggie Jackson first laid out how the whole decision-making process works with the leadership team.
We have a great leadership group in our with our GM. Also, we have a couple of other advisors in Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell, who are very much involved in our decision-making. I'm involved. Jim takes those decisions and puts them together, listens to our management and coaching staff on the field, talks to our GM and his staff, and then, of course, some of the analytics come into the future of a player, and our decisions are made that way, along with being fiscally responsible.
Okay, so that's the structure, loosely. Like how he dropped analytics in there. felt a little like he was checking a box to me. Jeff Luna, honestly, if they asked Jeff Luna about it back in the day, he probably wouldn't even mention analytics. You know what I mean?
Wonder,
it's just baked into the whole thing.
Every team has a bunch of quants down there in their basement doing whatever they
do. Reggie was doing a solid for the analytics people right there by mentioning
that. Yeah, I feel like it's wonder, and I think what people worry about sometimes is, all right, how much weight? Like, he just mentioned people that had roles in the organization, but like, what's the weighted percentage for each of those guys?
Yeah.
Like, is there an entire department of either analytics people or baseball scouts or anything who only count for like 15% of what Jim Crane listens to compared to maybe Bagwell at 38%?
Yeah.
I think that's what makes people nervous.
Yeah. So that's the leadership, Tandlin. That 30 seconds paints a picture to me. I'm going to get to this other bit of audio here before give our overall assessment on this and why I'm nervous about this. It definitely has a feel of a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Too many, maybe? A lot of cooks in the kitchen. And no mention of Dana Brown by name, just mention of the GM. Here was a specific thing from Reggie Jackson. The Blake Snell decision. The decision that the price of poker got too high for them to acquire Blake Snell.
being fiscally responsible, I think, is what kicked us out of the Snell deal. He signed a 2-year deal, I want to say, for 62. That's too much for him. He's been hurt a couple of times. And I think there's incentives on top of that. He's also got an option on his own. And between the 4 or 5 people that make the decisions with the Astros, we don't play that game.
Yeah, I hear the 4 or 5 people making decisions for the Astros. This terrifies me. I'll be honest with you. This yeah. terrifies me that you've got 3 old school guys in the room with the owner who has the right to do whatever he wants. I will concede that. It's his team. He can do what he wants. So I'm not even going to pull Jim Crane and his decisions and what he likes or doesn't like. He's gotten some wrong for sure, but whatever. He's been a great owner for the last 7 years. Dana Brown, the GM, I can't listen to those 2 bits of audio, Seth, and even get mad at Dana Brown for things that are going bad with the team. And I don't know if I can get mad at him moving forward. I don't know how much of these decisions are even being made by Dana Brown right now.
I was on one of the national broadcasts, because remember, there were like 19 national broadcasts in the first 5 games. In one of the national broadcasts, one of the commentators had just kind of casually mentioned that Jim Crane was maybe in the top 5 in the league when it came to owner involvement in negotiations and things like that. And that's always, I think that can sometimes be a good thing, but I think usually it scares people when it's weird, but sometimes the GM is the guy who best protects the owner from himself.
Yes.
You know, like, in good GMs take that responsibility. Like, they're like, okay, you know, the good GM tries to be a traffic cop for anybody that might get too impatient or might get too impulsive at any given moment, including the owner. Because a lot of GMs feel like, okay, it's kind of like if you're an accountant for a rock star. You're like, all right, I got to be sure that this guy, you know, doesn't go, like, too widely out of orbit on this tour. Like, yeah, he wants to have 4 tour buses, and he just flat out, it's a waste of money. I know he's the boss, but I got to try to convince him that he doesn't need 4 tour buses.
Yeah.
That's Jim Crane, rock star.
Rock star.
Jim. But kind of in that, like, kind of scary part of the rockumentary where they've had some success. They start messing around with, all of a sudden they got all these people on tour that don't need to be there, and it gets kind of scary.
Yeah, if we're categorizing owners here, Jim Crane, yeah, very involved. At least he's involved and willing to invest, so I will say that. Like, when you have owners that are cheap and involved, it gets really bad.
Yeah, I know. I see people calling Jim Crane cheap. You got to realize that they're spending above their weight limit this year in terms of market size compared to, they're in the top 3 in salary. They're not a top 3 revenue-producing team.
To be clear.
So he's not cheap.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's absolutely not. And to be clear, the audio I played there is way less about the decision to get out on Blake Snell. I mean, they sure could use Blake Snell right now because the starting rotation is injured and the guys who are there, other than Ronel Blanco and kind of Christian Javier, has been bad. So, yeah, like, the look is bad that you're 4-10 and Blake Snell might have been a big help. I have no idea how Snell's doing for the Giants, admittedly. Haven't followed. Got too many problems here with the Astros. The whole 4 or 5 guy, you know, you got the Dave Clark 5 here doing the decision making here. You know, it's a committee of 5, including the owner, making these decisions. I just look back at the heyday for the Astros, you know, early in this dynasty. And I can't imagine Jeff Luhnow operating in an environment where he's got to take input from Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, and Reggie Jackson. And they are considered voting members in these decisions. You know what I mean?
The things that made, like, okay, what made you the team that you are? A lot of it was a culture of defying conventional wisdom, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I think there's always got to be a balance there. You always got to, you know, you don't want to get to the Jack Easterby part where you think that defying conventional wisdom is the only thing that matters. Right. And that as long as you're defying conventional wisdom, then you're thinking outside the box and everything is awesome. You don't want to go that far, obviously. But you also, I don't think you want to, when what made you great was bucking trends, doing things differently than everybody else had done them for generations. I think that, relying on more and more people that, like, chafe against, not just chafe against analytics, but are very much rooted in doing things the old school way. You've strayed from the core of what made you what you are, you know?
Yeah, in a big way. I mean, it's not just one voice you've got there. Craig Biggio, Jeff Bagwell, Reggie Jackson, all of whom Hall of Fame players, tremendous players. And you know, like that they're part of the organization, cool, but that it feels like this five-man committee making decisions.
Honestly, there could be no better metaphor for it than the often used phrase, just turn over the back of the baseball card. Look at the back of a Braves baseball card, where you see what? Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of conventional stats and a whole bunch of gumption and got to, and here we go. Like, it's just, yeah, that's... I've got a room full of nerds with advanced degrees, or look at the back of the baseball card.
Yeah.
Have you considered this? I want any of these guys to show up in court as expert witnesses in a murder trial and be like, well, have you considered this? And out of the back, they pull O.J. Simpson's rookie card. They're like, have you considered this, Your Honor? Have you considered this?
Right.
Yeah. Just look at him. Look at him run in the snow.
So this terrifies me. I'm just going to say it right now. Those two bits of audio from Reggie Jackson, I think this team, this version of the Astros this year, can pull this thing out of the nosedive and be a playoff team. I do. They're going to get guys back. Yeah. It's not, you know, the hitting is going to come through at some point. I don't know that they're winning 95 games this year, anything like that, but they've got too many good players to be, you know, 4-10 you know, proportionally all year long. This scares me more about the future. The same way I was scared yesterday, Seth, about the fact that we're in this triage situation now where guys are getting hurt, this and that, and there's no solutions anywhere. We have a horrible first base situation. There's no solution anywhere in the system. We have pitching issues. There are no solutions anywhere in the system. We're running out of answers. This is the group that's supposed to find those answers, and I don't feel good about it at all.
I know the people that come at you that you get frustrated with are the ones that will say, you know, hey, it's not my money. You know, when you believe that a deal was bad or what have you, like you're criticizing the Abreu deal, and people say, like, well, it's not your money. He can do whatever he wants with it. No. It's very much the team's money, and they can do whatever they want with it. But like the reason people will make accusations of an owner being cheap in this instance, it's not that he's not spending money. It's that he's spending way too much money on stuff that's not helping out at all. So yeah, he has to be cheap with like a Blake Snell. Oh, $30 million a year on a short-term contract is too much for Blake Snell. My ass, it's too cheap. You don't have the money to spend on it because you spent money on Abreu.
Yep.
Like that's why it's too expensive for you.
Yep.
It's not that Blake Snell's contract got too expensive. It's that the money isn't being spent appropriately elsewhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Text message, we get a lot of texts on Joe Espada. Text message, not a Joe Espada fan, he sounds so lame. Text message, I'm out on Joe and Dana. Text message, the dynasty is dying. This is the challenge, I think this is going to be, this might be perceptually in this town, one of the biggest challenges Joe Espada is going to have. that his predecessors, both Dusty Baker and to a lesser extent, A.J. Hinch, didn't have.
Yeah.
The advantage that those two had over Joe Espada. Joe Espada is going to be operating here for now and in the near future in a city where the other two head coaches are immensely popular. And they're dogs. They are guys with big personalities that you can get behind in Ime Udoka and D'Amico Ryans. And yeah, you hear a Joe Espada cut, and Joe seems like a really, I don't know him at all, but he seems like a really nice guy. I don't know how good a manager he is. His team stinks right now. But he seems like a guy. At 4-10, Ime Udoka, I think, would still be rallying the troops. At 4-10, D'Amico Ryans, I think there would still be a belief. And here's the thing. Both those teams are going to be good for a while. And right. We don't know what the Astros are going to be. And Joe Espada is operating in this environment where Dusty Baker had the advantage of not only managing a good team, but when you're looking around the city on the aggregate, on the macro, Seth, and it's Steven Silas and David Culley and Lovie Smith, and during A.J. Hinch, it's kind of docile Mike D'Antoni and Bill O'Brien, who everybody hated towards the end. That this is going to be a tricky environment city-wise for Joe Espada to exist in with Ime and with D'Amico.
People aren't going to be placated by a soft-spoken head coach in a time of strife like this. This is not the time to bring Mr. Rogers in, and Espada feels a little bit like you're... There's a fire down the street. Who should we call? Get Mr. Rogers on it. He'll be like, yeah, get him on the bucket brigade. That's right. And like, no, nobody's saying that. That's like, you need an ass kid. You need somebody that's going to kick butt, right? And Espada is very much of comes in wearing a cardigan and let's talk about your feelings type of guy. David Culley, for instance, it was not going to wear well with a guy with Culley. I mean, there was more than just his soft-spoken persona and demeanor. Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to pin a bunch of this on Espada. It's just the problem is the actual real problems so far have been very... They've been things that Espada was not going to fix. Espada wasn't all of a sudden turn Blair Henley into an awesome pitcher. And they won that game. Espada, I don't think Espada is all of a sudden responsible for Hunter Brown, maybe just not being a good major league pitcher. Like, all of these things are systemic things. The problems with the relief, the problems with the pitching staff in whole, the starting pitchers' injuries, all of that stuff. That stuff that was there last year with Dusty, it's here this year with Espada. I always felt like Dusty did a lot of stuff that deserved criticism, but it got to a toxic point where everybody wanted to blame everything on Dusty. And I think people are starting to advance to that. Some people are starting to advance to that spot with Espada super fast.
Yeah. I mean, these texts are really interesting. I'm a month away from saying trade Bregman, Tucker, Presley, and retool for a year or two from now.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, that's extreme. I'm just trying to think like, okay, that compared to what should Espada have done right now to get them out of this? Like, what – and I'm honestly asking, like, what should have Espada done in the first – what's the record now?
Four and ten.
To start out 4-10 to where they'd actually have a winning record right now.
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't have an answer.
I mean, I'm genuinely asking. What would make you feel – everything that would have needed to happen for this team to be good, how much control did Espada have over any of those things?
Yeah, yeah. Normally I'd say he's playing Abreu too much, but they have no solution behind Abreu right now. You know, like
right.
It's that's, and he's made some curious in-game decisions, but that's not losing.
Right,
they're not 4-10 because of that.
Pinch hitting Singleton.
Yeah.
All right. You know, like that would be one of those things. But part of that is like, all right, well, they also, Singleton's the guy they have. Inserting Singleton over Dubon or what have you, those are things that maybe could have salvaged a game or two.
Yeah.
But when so much of the issue is the pitching in general and the health of the pitching, it's just hard to say. Yeah, he's made curious decisions, but given, like, last year, we were upset with Dusty because he wasn't playing Yiner Diaz more.
Yep.
This year, I think I'm cool with the way the catchers are being deployed. I can't possibly be mad that they're not playing John Singleton more than Abreu.
Right.
You know, they're just, I don't know what you're going to do.
Dude, how far would Yiner's home run yesterday have gone if there was no wind? he hit that thing, I mean, it made the score 9-1, so it's kind of lost in the shuffle, but when he hit that and we saw what the wind was doing the first few innings of that game, I'm like, that thing landed beyond, like, at the top of the bleachers in left field. That thing would have gone like 500 feet if there were no wind. That was crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, good question to the Utopia mailbag about the Texans. You have to pick one Texan, player, coach, exec, whatever, to win a major award for the 2024 season. I've got a list of these. Who is it for you? I'll run that by Seth as well. That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.